child, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. Can be reborn, 'cause I'm one. I know I need to lift my eyes up, but I'm too weak. Life just won't let up. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Oh, let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
Stay the same through the ages. Works morning and welcome everyone to the Hope Show on this Saturday. I hope all of you have had a great week and a very happy Valentine's Day as well, and I hope it was a blessed day for you. It is an honor to have all of you in the listening audience tuning in today. Today's message is God never quits. God's love never quits. And I have to apologize right out of the gate, folks. I haven't really felt real well all week, and now I think I may have some allergies, and so, I took some Benadryl about an hour ago, and I'm feeling pretty out of it. My mind is pretty foggy, so bear with me if I make a few mistakes or whatever. And so, anyway, let's keep rolling with the show. Today's message is God's love never quits. Before I open us up in prayer today, I'd like to read something that I found this week. While praying one day, a woman asked, "Who are you, God?" He answered, "I am." "But who is I am?" she asked. And he replied, "I am love. I am peace. I am grace. I am joy. I am strength. I am safety. I am shelter. I am power. I am the creator. I am the comforter. I am the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the light." And with tears in her eyes, she looked toward heaven and said, "Now I understand. But who am I?" And God tenderly wiped the tears from the woman's eyes and whispered to her, "You are mine." Have any of you asked the same question of God? Isn't it the greatest feeling ever when you come to the realization of God's mighty magnificence and to realize that out of all that, God created each of us uniquely and we are His children? That gives me goosebumps, folks. Does it affect anyone else in this way? Let us now bow our heads and join me in prayer for today's message. Hold on just a second. Okay, had to get rid of that beeping real quick. Anyway, at this time I'd like to go ahead and take a moment to say a prayer. So if you would, please bow your heads and join me in a prayer right now. Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, how amazing You are. Our words alone cannot express. I pray that we would all have our eyes and our hearts opened to know how loving and compassionate You are, and how much You, Lord, care for each of us so deeply. I pray that each of us here today would know and have that same light and love in our own hearts for You. And for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as well, thank You, Lord, that Your love never quits. You're a miracle-working God, and we praise You and we thank You. You laid out earth and oceans. You created the sky and filled it with light for us to enjoy. You created the sun to watch over the day. You made the moon and stars as guardians of the night. You created a rainbow as a promise to us that You would never forsake us. All the beauty around us created for our pleasure and well-being in mind. Father, we live on a blue planet that circles around a ball of fire, next to a moon that moves the sea. You so loved us that everything is created and calculated with exact precision. Our planet, the perfect direction from the sun and the moon, so that we can live in perfect biosphere, safe from harm. Only You, Father, only You. We give You all the praise and glory this morning. We praise You and thank You, Father God. Your love never quits. And all the people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in this prayer. We have lots of things to go over this morning, so I'm going to jump right into the message. I hardly know where to begin. Love is literally everything. Everything. If you find me skipping around from time to time, it's because I'm so excited about this message, and my brain is just working overtime. The subject of love is massive. Have you ever thought about that for just a moment? Love. Love is massive. Believers love God. We all know what love is. Everyone knows someone or loves someone, such as a family member or spouse or children, grandchildren, a beloved pet, friends, co-workers, church family, siblings, etc. Everyone loves somebody. And everyone is loved by somebody, I should hope. Love is something that is profoundly tender. It's a feeling of having a warm personal attachment or a deep affection for someone. When you love someone, you have a deep concern for their well-being. When you love someone, there's a strong enthusiasm for wanting to be with them and enjoying their company, being in their presence. Being with a special someone makes you happy. Love is doing for another person without expecting any compensation. Love is being devoted, loyal, and steadfast. And in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it tells us that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. No matter what we say, what we believe, or what we do, fellow brothers and sisters, we are bankrupt without love. Literally bankrupt. We don't yet see things clearly. We are squinting in a fog. We're peering through a mist. But it won't be long, folks, before the weather clears. And the sun shines bright, and we will see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us. But for right now, until that completeness happens, we must trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. And what's love got to do with it, folks? Everything. Can I get everybody out there in the audience to say, love is everything. God has really been speaking to me through this message this week. Have you ever read something over and over again and you think you understand? And then one day you reread that very same thing and you get a completely different and deeper perspective of something. That's because God is talking to you about something in your own life. You know, I've just been so warm and fuzzy and lightheaded, it's almost a euphoric feeling this week preparing for today's message. I am in the very presence of God. Fellow brothers and sisters, there is absolutely no greater feeling than knowing that you are standing in the very presence of God. For those of you who are believers, you know that feeling that I'm talking about. But for those of you who may not yet believe or have doubts, or perhaps you're riding on the fence. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and invite Him in to dwell in our hearts forever, you better believe it is real, folks. It is real. You have never truly experienced love until you have experienced God's love. God is not dead. Amen. He was resurrected. God seals the deal. He stamps us as His own. When we accept Jesus into our heart as our Savior, that opens up a whole new world to us. And God's love is real. And when you're born, that second birth, God knows who His children are. And right at that moment, He seals the deal for you. He has stamped His ownership on us. He puts His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is yet to come. This means that through the presence and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are given a first installment or a token of the fullness of that greater life to come. Can I hear a praise God? Hallelujah! Amen! Is anybody excited out there this morning? Does anybody want to experience God's fullness? God's everlasting love? Anybody here in the audience today? Have you been listening in each week and you're feeling this little tug at your heart? You can ask Jesus, folks. He's been knocking all along. Answer the door. Answer the call. It's never too late. God is waiting for you. The angels are cheering you on. If you want what God is offering, then let us take a moment right now to say a little prayer for that. For the believers in the audience, please. Also, be praying for anyone who wants Jesus. For these people to be bold and courageous, to step outside their comfort zone and to make it official today. Anybody want to be reborn right here and now? Maybe you already are saved, but maybe you've backslid a little bit. Whatever your circumstance is, tell it to God. Ask. Answer that call, that knock on the door. I sense there are many in my listening audience who feel this tugging in their hearts, that are ready to take this to the next level. And if that's so, just do it now. Just do it now. You won't regret that. Let this be the first day of your new life. Your second birth. Mark it on the calendar, folks, this date. Let us go ahead and say the sinner's prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in prayer, asking for the forgiveness of all of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is Your Son and that He died on the cross at Calvary that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask You right now to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship You all the days of my life. because your word is truth. I confess with my mouth that I am born again, folks, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Thank you, everyone, for pausing with me in the middle of our message to say this prayer. I just felt that it was so important, that it was being led, you know, laid upon my heart. Those of you who have been listening to my Hope Show, I've been doing this show for next month. It'll be 2 years. What a blessing. I've came a long way. All glory be to God. When my husband brought this to my attention 2 years ago, I just looked at him like he'd grown three heads. I was like, I'm not qualified to do this job. I couldn't even possibly think of enough things to say for 2 hours. But you know, I prayed on it and prayed about it. And God equips the unqualified. And here I am today. It's all about love. No turning back. It's about God's obedience, or our obedience to God's word. I'm going to go ahead and take this break right now, and the first song that I'm going to play for you folks is Proof of Your Love by King and Country.
If I sing but don't have love, I waste my breath with every song I bring. An empty voice, a hollow noise. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd but don't have love, I leave a bitter taste with every word I say. So let
my father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Everyone, isn't it great to be in the presence of God's love this morning? I know it might be afternoon or even in the middle of the night wherever you are, but here it's a beautiful Saturday morning. The sun is shining and it's about 32 degrees. I had a little bit of an ice storm last night, but it's melting off fast, and it's just a glorious day to be in the presence of God. Thank you all for joining me today. If you are just tuning in, today's message is God's love never quits. In my studies this week, I come upon a love letter from God. It was very profound, and it touched my heart in a very special way. So I wanted to share that with you, and the is titled God's Love Letter to You. It starts out reading, "This letter will change your life forever if you let it." This is His love letter. Let me go back for a minute. Says, "This letter will change your life forever if you let it. God loves you. He is the Father that you have been looking for all of your life. This is His love letter to each of us. It is compiled from many verses and in books throughout the Bible, such as in the book of Psalm 139, Matthew 10, Genesis 1, Acts 17, Jeremiah 1, Ephesians 1, Psalm 71, John 5, just to name a few. So God's love letter reads like this. "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all of your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and you have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant or angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my children and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift comes from my hand, for I am your provider, and I meet all of your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand is on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good for you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all of my heart and all of my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you these desires. I am able to do for you more than you could possibly imagine. For I am your encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all of your troubles. When you are broken hearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd has carried a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered here on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you and not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved so that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I will throw the biggest party that heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and I will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God." Folks, that's an incredible love letter from father to child. Can you imagine loving someone so deeply as the sand on the seashore? Can you imagine loving someone so deeply that you would sacrifice something else that you loved so much so that the other might live? Most human beings don't even know what that kind of sacrificial love is. And the only way that you can even partially understand that is to get into God's Word and to study His Word, His truth, His love. Will you accept the unconditional love that God desires to give you? In Psalms 136:1, the Bible tells us, "Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then Him for all He has done." If you do this, you will experience God's love and peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can possibly even understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Folks, who would not want that kind of peace and love and joy in their heart? The kind of peace and love and joy that surpasses all human understanding. Why? Why would anybody turn away from that? Turn that offer down? God is so rich in kindness and grace. His mercies never cease. They begin afresh each new morning, folks. Think about that for a moment. His mercies never cease. They begin afresh each new dawning. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. O Lord, for you have not forsaken those who earnestly seek you. And you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. The Bible is literally full of verses that speak of God's love for His children. We should be praying daily. Soften my heart, O Lord. Change my heart, O God. Let it be more like you. Make your ways known to me, O God. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, "I'm sorry for the man who can't feel the whip when it is laid on the other man's back." Much of this world, fellow brothers and sisters, is calloused and indifferent, desensitized toward the needs of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We have become unplugged from people suffering poverty and distress. We have even become unplugged from people who are lacking in the very basics of life, such as having a family or friends to love them. You know, most of us take that for granted. They're, you know, how to feed them when they're hungry, you know. A lot of us have become just so callous to that, to meeting other people's very basic needs, feeding them, showing compassion with someone who is cold, even just someone to talk to let these people know that they mean something to someone, that they have worth and value. Can you imagine being in that other person's shoes? And you were that person who was struck down with poverty or distress? Can you imagine being that person who, for whatever reason, has become estranged from family, either from death or arguing or whatever may be the case? Can you imagine being completely alone, fending for yourself, no one to talk to, hungry, cold? Can you imagine how that must feel to another human being? But so many people out there in this world are so desensitized. They've lost their compassion. How sad, with so much love in our hearts and the love of our Heavenly Father to give, that there are still people in our society who feel as if they have no worth, no value, that their life is so lonely that they don't care if they live or die. It breaks my heart for the unbelievers. But it's not just the unbelievers. What about the believers that have backslid and have lost their connection with God? It is my heart's desire that everyone would come to know the love of our Lord and have a personal and intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. Folks, it is not impossible. I know it hasn't been too long since we've took a break, but I'm going to go ahead and take another quick one because it just seems like a good time to play these two songs. And so here's the first one. The first one is Change My Heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the subway with the junkies and the freaks, and Jesus rides the subway with the hustlers and the creeps. He rubs shoulders with the thieves. Looks a lot like everyone sees. Oh, Jesus rides the subway while the pretty people sleep. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. Around, but you can lay your burden down.
the sidewalks, on the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah, Jesus loves the sidewalks, that poverty attacks. Makes his home among the shacks, where the fatherless have fallen through the cracks. Yeah, Jesus rules the sidewalks, while the righteous turn their backs. He says you can lay your burden down, you can lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Jesus went to church on Sunday. He sat in the back and sang the hymns. But Jesus went to church on Sunday, but they didn't recognize him. He said, you can lay your burden down, your burden down. Oh, baby, move and kick around, but you can lay your burden, lay your burden.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so happy that you decided to join me on this Saturday. Thank you for tuning in to hear the Hope Show. Today's message is God's love never quits. You know, along with the truth that God's love never quits, is also the truth that God's timing is always perfect. No matter what circumstance you may find yourself in, God has promised us that He would never leave our side. He promises that if He brings us to a storm, He will also bring us through the storm. We are never hung out to dry, even when it seems so. In every circumstance, God is working on the situation for our good. It is working together for completeness according to God's plan for our lives, if we are following the will of God. His plan for us is being perfected through the trials and the tribulations that we experience. We should not overly distress over the current circumstances. We should wait on God, trust Him, have faith in Him, that He will work it out in His perfect timing. Even though you may face trial and tribulation and persecution for days, weeks, months, or perhaps even years, in God's perfect timing, the purpose for your struggles will one day be revealed. It will be for your greater good. It may not be how you picture the results, but it's probably a way better result than what you had even imagined if you had tried to do it by yourself. Let's think about this for a moment. Let's say that you pray for patience. All of a sudden, you may find yourself surrounded with people who are slowing you down or making you mad. God may send someone into your life that you have a huge personality conflict with. Maybe your vehicle is breaking down. Maybe you've spilled coffee on yourself. Your alarm clock didn't go off for the third time this week. I don't know. But I do know one thing. God is answering your prayer. He is developing your patience through your experiences. Suddenly you find yourself in situations where you're, or perhaps, you know, another one. Maybe you've prayed for courage. Suddenly you find yourself in situations where you are fearful or doubtful or stressed out. Although these are signs of the devil getting a stronghold on you, they are also ways in which you develop courage by overcoming and having faith of a mustard seed. Trusting in God to get you through any circumstance. Can you see how this kind of works, folks? If you pray for a loving spirit, a kind spirit, a compassionate spirit, perhaps you'll find yourself being put in situations where people need your help. God answers prayers. There is that old adage, to be careful what you wish for. But God loves us so much that He cares about every detail of our lives. As human beings, we all need to love and be loved. God made us to experience love, give love, and receive love. God is the source of all love. God can fill our need for love as no other person or idea can. In 1 John 4:7 through 11, the Bible tells us that God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love, folks. It is not that we love God, but that He loved us so much that He sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. If we had half of an ounce of the kind of love that God has in His heart for us toward other people, can you imagine what a beautiful world this would truly be? Sometimes it's all too easy to take other people for granted and assume that they know how much you love them. But what if they don't? It doesn't matter. You should always, always tell those that you love them. And I want to challenge all of you in the listening audience today to tell someone today that you love him or her, but not with words, but with actions. Perhaps you can go out and show a total stranger some love, that you care about them as well with your actions, by perhaps opening a door for them or buying them a cup of coffee or asking to carry something to their car for them. If you have a list of wrongs that you've been keeping, today is the day, folks, to rip that up, throw it in the trash, and start to believe and hope the best about those that you love. You never know. Perhaps your feelings will soon follow your actions. You can never underestimate the power of love, folks. People who behave the most unlovingly need your love the very most. What if, when during all those times that you were behaving poorly, acting out in foolishness, that God gave up on you? What if, during this time, God said, "I've had enough of this one or that one. Forget about it." And He just threw up His hands and turned around and left. Where do you think you would be right now? Maybe you have come from a rough past. Maybe you're not where you want to be. But folks, look back long enough to see the distance in which you have come and know that you're always going to be a work in progress. And that's okay. God still loves you. Don't sell yourself short because God didn't make any junk. And in fact, you are here. right where you are, right at this precise moment in your life, by the mercy, love, and grace of God, you are precisely where you are supposed to be. Don't be comparing yourself to where other people are or what they have. Don't be talking down to yourself, telling yourself what a good-for-nothing, stupid, low-life mess-up you are. Don't disrespect God. He made you just as you are. Be thankful of that. Your life is a gift. You are a gift, a treasure. He has a purpose for every one of our lives. You may not know what that purpose is, but it's not always your job to know. You just have to believe. Are you seriously going to sit there and tell God that He made junk and you don't like it? How dare anyone disrespect God's beautiful and magnificently made creations, His craftsmanship, His masterpiece? Do you know that you are God's craftsmanship and masterpiece, made in His own image? Are you going to insult God by insulting yourself? Don't ever doubt God's love, truth, and faithfulness, folks. And don't ever doubt your worth in God's eyes. If you're a parent out there listening today, could you ever honestly visualize yourself looking into the eyes of your children, procreated by the love you shared with another individual, and say that you hate what you made? That your children were a mistake, or that they were junk, or that you should have never put them on earth in the first place? Can you imagine being like that as a parent? Would you like it if someone else said that about your creation? Put yourself in God's shoes. That must be how it feels for Him when you're down on yourself. I bet none of you can ever imagine saying, let alone even thinking those words. God is our Father and He loves us. He made us. Thank Him for the gift of life. If not for God's unconditional love for you and for me, we wouldn't even be here today. Whether you had a great dad or a not so great dad as you were growing up, you can at least picture how a loving father is supposed to act toward his children. With love and compassion and wisdom, he guides and corrects them, enabling them to live rich and full lives, exactly as our Heavenly Father does for us. In Psalm 68:5, it says, "Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God, whose dwelling is holy." In Proverbs 3:11-12, the Bible tells us, "My child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child whom he delights." I want you to think about it for a few minutes. Think of a few of the best characteristics that you can think of that would make a great father. Let me share with you what I came up with this week. To me, a loving father means someone who is loyal and loving and compassionate, sympathetic to my hurts and needs, a protector, a comforter, a friend, someone who is truthful, someone who is a disciplinarian, someone who is gentle and kind. Now, after hearing me name off all of those things, is God not all of those things and so much more to us, His children? He is our perfect Father. He is constant. He never changes. God never changes, no matter how we behave. Unlike our earthly fathers, God never changes. He is consistent. He is steady. He is steadfast. He never turns his back on us. He is ready, willing, and able to love you with perfect love if you will let him do so. Just like our earthly father, it grieves our heavenly father when we shut him out, disobey him, disown him, run away from him, and curse him. God repeatedly calls to his children, but the condition of each heart determines the result. Those with soft and tender hearts hear his voice and yield to him in obedience. But those with hard hearts resist his warnings and instructions. And surprisingly, upon hearing the same voice, believers will have a different reaction. But hardening of the heart is a slow process that is often accompanied by excuses and rationalization. Some of the dangers of a hardening heart may include insensitivity or resistance to what the Lord says, a refusal to put yourself under his authority, disobedience to what you know God is instructing you to do, justification of sinful conduct, resistance to the reproof of others, a preoccupation with the things of this world, such as a career or relationships, possessions, personal desires, etc. Little interest in spiritual matters, an absence of private devotion such as Bible readings and prayers, and last but not least, and I'm sure there are many more, an avoidance of gathering with other believers and having fellowship with other people who believe. However, a hard heart does not have to remain brittle. If you've discovered any of these traits that I've mentioned in your life right now, folks, now you are aware of what is going on, and you should begin today to return to the Lord. Ask him to give you a new heart and the desire to know him. Remember, God specializes in making all things new. So this sounds like another good place to go ahead and take another break. And I'm going to play a few songs here. I'm just going to go ahead and play one song. And that one song is going to be Everlasting God.
One thing I know that I have found through all the troubles that surround, you are the rock that
For being a part of the Hope Show today. I just kind of had to throw that little song in there because my daughter spent the night with us last night and she's fixing to leave to go to work here in a minute, and so I had to go in there and give her a kiss and a hug before she left and wished her a good day. I hope all of you out there will tell somebody today that you love them, and I hope you'll give somebody out there today a hug and a kiss and wish them a good day as well. It's always an honor to be in your homes, wherever you are right now, and it's always great to be in the presence of God. The Bible tells us that where two or more are congregated, there also the Lord shall be. I know this message is being heard from all over the world, and so God is as far as the east is from the west, and as far from the north to the far south. God is with us today, folks. You better believe it. It's real. And He is smiling down on every one of us right now. Our worship is a sweet fragrance, a sweet song to our Heavenly Father. If you are just tuning in today, this message is God's love never quits. Can I hear a big amen for that? Amen. God's love never quits. Oh my goodness. What would my world be like if God's love failed? Can you imagine what your life would be like without God if you're a believer? I just can't even imagine that. Wow. Who is on fire for the Lord this morning? or whatever time of day it is for you. Here's a bit of fuel for thought, folks. As a man's heart is, so he is before God. We can advance no further or deeper into the holy place of God's presence to wait on him there than our heart is prepared for it by the Holy Spirit. Fellow brothers and sisters, who is ready to step up to the next level with God? Who wants something deeper and richer than one already has with God? I am, and I do. I am ready to step it up to the next level, and I do want a deeper and richer relationship with God. Who is looking forward to the day that you will go to that place that our Heavenly Father has prepared for you? Imagine the most beautiful place that you've ever seen. Is it in the snow-covered peaks of the mountains? Is it the beautiful blue of the ocean? Is it a field ablaze with incredible colors of spring flowers? Or the brilliant, bright colors of oranges and yellows and reds and greens and browns of the leaves on the trees in autumn? Do you realize that even a king's palace, incomparably lavish with magnificent splendors of silver and gold, ivory and pearl, exquisite art and beauty in such detail, pales in comparison to the splendor of the dwelling place of the King of Kings, the place that God has prepared for you and I? If you are having doubts or still disbelieving, please don't wait any longer to find your place in God. There is no time to spare. What are you waiting on? God's love is so pure, unconditional, true, comforting, peaceful, and joyful. You've never experienced love until you've experienced God's love. Would you risk eternal life and love to be about your own way, seeking your something in this world that's not ultimately even going to satisfy you? This world and the things of it are only temporal. But we are offered something far greater. Are we going to pass up that opportunity? If we do, we're a fool. I pray that you would not choose the ways of the world. I love you. I desire to seek and find all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when hopefully we all pass through those gates of eternity. John 14:2-3, the Bible tells us, there are many rooms in my Father's home, or mansion, some say, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Here are some more verses that I found in the Bible. The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Besides the fact that we are God's creation, His children, why do you suppose God loves us? It is probably one of the most profound questions ever asked. No human would be able to answer it sufficiently. But one thing is certain. God does not love us because we are so cute and cuddly or lovable, or even because we deserve His love, because we don't. If anything, the opposite is true. Remember what I said earlier on in the show, that the unlovely are often the ones that need the most love? How many of you have known rebellious teens that display such a behavior that it makes it very challenging for us to love them unconditionally? Back in the days that I used to have my own daycare business, I watched a lot of children from ages 5 to 12 years, and it seems that the majority of them came from dysfunctional families. They were confused and angry, and they didn't want to have a relationship with anyone, and they certainly didn't respect any authority. Those were some very challenging years in the workforce for me. And many times, Shaziz and I called upon the Lord, "Lord, help us." But those children, as rotten as their behavior was at times, needed love more than ever. They needed consistency. They needed to know that they had worth and that they were cared about, no matter how rotten their behavior got. They may not have deserved it based upon their actions, but nonetheless, everyone needs love. The state of mankind since the fall of Adam and Eve is that of rebellion and disobedience. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our innermost beings are so corrupted by sin that even we don't realize the extent to which sin has tainted us. In our natural state, we do not seek God. We do not love God. We do not desire God. In Romans 3:10 through 12, the Bible clearly states, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." How is it possible, folks, then, for a holy, righteous, and perfect God to love us, such sinful creatures by nature? To get an understanding of this, we must understand something of the nature of God. God is love. His very essence is love. He must demonstrate love just as he must demonstrate all of his attributes, because doing so glorifies him. Since it is God's essential nature to love, he demonstrates his love by lavishing it on undeserving people, us, who are in rebellion against him. God's love is not a sappy, sentimental, romantic feeling like human love, but rather it is an agape love. An agape love is something that is probably foreign to most of us, because we can't imagine a love so great, a love of such self-sacrifice. But God demonstrated his sacrificial love, his agape love, his unconditional love for each one of us by sending his Son to the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, by drawing us to himself, by forgiving us of our thereby enabling us to love as he loves. He did this in spite of the fact that we did not deserve it. God's love is personal. He knows each of us individually and loves us personally. His is a mighty love that has no beginning and no end. It is this experiencing of God's love that distinguishes us humans from God. Because on our own, we do not know how to love as God loves. And so I ask this question again. Why does God love us? It's as simple as this, folks. God is love. There's no getting around that. I'm going to let you ponder on all this for just a moment while I go to another break. And when I get back, Shaziz will be joining me for the last minutes of the message. So I just want you to go ahead and stay tuned for more of The Hope Show.
I'd love to do this. It's called "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through." This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My troubles are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. pardon me, and now onward goes. I know you'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, to know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Thank you, Martina. Martina McBride, my little Opry sister. That's great, Martina. Great job, man. That's wonderful.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong, insane is love.
Staying tuned into the Hope Show, and for those of you who may just now be tuning in, thank you for joining me as well. To hear all the complete message, if you are just tuning in, you can go back to the podcast here in a few hours once it's been uploaded to Shaziz Radio, and just look at the podcast and look for Hope Show by Beverly, and you can click on today's date, 2/21/15, and you can hear the show or even pass it on to your friends if you think someone would enjoy hearing it. And so now joining me is my partner in life, my best friend, Shaziz. And you've been listening into today's message, Shaziz. What are your thoughts and feelings about God's unconditional love?
Well, as I listened to it, I I have a lot of different things running through my head. There's a whole lot of non-believers out there, atheists, New Agers, different versions of different denominations and all that kind of stuff. One of the things that keeps running through my head all the time is that people always say, well, if God is so much love, then why does he allow all these things to happen in the world? And the fact is, he doesn't allow them. He essentially told us not to do it. You know, sent the message down with Moses with the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, so on and so forth. And if you believe the stories of the Bible, that from all the way back to Adam and Eve's time, before they ever even knew the difference between love and hate or right and wrong, and once they disobeyed the only rule that that God had for them, which was not to eat of the tree of the good and the knowledge of good and evil. And once they did that, he opened up the box. And ever since then, we've all been rebellious. And so with that said, then we're not doing what we could do with the gifts that we've been given. We're not following the golden rules, the Ten Commandments. We're basically living our own lives and doing our own things, rebelling against our Creator. And so it wasn't us, it wasn't God that allowed children to starve in this world or wars to go on. It was man that chose to do that. And it was evil that chose to distort the whole thing from start to finish. So since the dawn of mankind, there's been a battle to convince you that God doesn't even exist, that there is no God, there is no good, there is no evil, there's none of this. So it's a continuous struggle just to try to understand what that love is when you look into a world that is so chaotic, such as the one we live in. You know, if I were God, I would run around, I'd feed all the hungry, and I'd stop all the wars, I'd do it instantaneously. And everybody would be essentially forced to love one another. But that ain't what love is all about. There's an old saying that goes way back that about a bird, you know, if you set the bird free and it comes back, it was meant to be. If not, then it was never meant to be. I don't believe that our Creator wanted us to be slaves. I don't believe that our Creator wanted us to just do what we're told and that's that. He gave us free will for a reason, for us to enjoy life. And then when we come back to our Creator because of love, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, he created this world. First, he created us as a companion for him. But then he created the earth because he loved us so much, so that we would have something nice to enjoy and things. And like you said, you know, it was never intended to be like it is right now. You know, God put all this beautiful world together for our enjoyment, and we have free will, you know, and it's our choice whether we have joy and peace and love and all those things in our heart, but God's not going to force us to abide by his rules and things. You know, he'll always be there beside us, and, you know, knocking on that door, but God isn't going to force us to do anything. It is our choice.
Yeah, you know, if you just took away everything that, you know, the word religion that I find disgusting because it's just not what I believe in, but if you take away everything, you took away all that we call God or whatever, and you just look at just the earth alone by itself, it's such an amazing wonder, and nobody can explain how you got this all together. Nobody can explain none of that. Nobody can prove or disprove the existence of God itself. But just looking out into the world alone, with everything that we have at our disposal, this should be a beautiful world. But what mankind chooses to do with it is fight over it. Selfishness, greed, just sheer evil running rampant. And you put God back in the picture, the Creator, He put something so beautiful down for us to live on and to experience life. That in itself is love. That in itself showed that He cared. I mean, He could have put us on a planet where it was cold all the time.
And He created man and woman so that even man would have a companion.
Yeah. And
He thought all of this out very precisely.
We don't follow the rules that were set down for us. You know, after the Garden of Eden story, where they just had it made. You know, now we have pains and sufferings and agony. But you look back on it, all the choices were ours all along, from start to finish. Did Eve have to eat the apple? She chose to do so. And so with that said, then that was the beginning of the whole world that we see ourselves living in according to our faith. But, you know, when it comes down to love, to give as much as we've been given, and then know that your creation is going to run amok and not appreciate or understand, it's not just a lesson of life. It's a lesson in love. You know, eventually, things are going to get so bad here on this world that we're going to have to work together. Because on the path that we're on, the things that we're doing to one another, the dispute, the sicknesses, the starving, and it's all can be traced back to we got so far away from that initial love that here we are today. And that everybody's trying to find their way back.
You know, I was speaking of that agape love a few moments ago, and I don't think anyone can truly fathom the complete meaning of just what that is, what that means. You know, I think that's, you know, way outside the human's comprehension. And it's just, I wish that I saw people, saw myself, as God saw us, because it just seems to me like it would be such a beautiful, pure, loving, I just can't even describe it as I'm thinking about it. It's just beyond my imagination what that must feel like. Well, and I wish that all of us could feel that and see ourselves as God sees us.
I know what it feels like. I had a dream that I stood in the presence of God. I also had a dream that I stood in hell. But standing in the presence of God in this dream, there's no human words or phrases or books that could be compiled together to explain that kind of feeling. Where even if you wanted to do something bad, you couldn't do it. Even if you wanted to think a bad thought, you couldn't think it. You are standing in the most pure love that you could ever imagine. And it's not about hate or greed or discontent. It's not anywhere close to anything evil. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, standing in hell isn't like, was it in this dream anyhow, like anything you'd see on TV, burning in an eternal lake of fire and all this kind of stuff. Or, you know, it says that in the Bible. But it was more of being a total aloneness, a total separation, a total disconnect away from the source that we call God. And since humans are we like to be around people. We're social beings. And everybody wants to be felt like they're loved. Everybody wants to feel like they're cared for. Everybody wants to feel important. Imagine standing somewhere in time forever and there's nobody around. Nobody to share your sadness or your suffering or anything. You just exist. That's, to me, the worst possible hell, to not be able to reach out and say hi to somebody or cry alongside somebody. And I feel like deep down inside, everybody out there feels like that. Nobody wants to die alone. Nobody wants to be alone. And to stand in the presence of pure love or total separation is beyond words. It's totally beyond words. I mean, at least down here on this earth, while we're tormenting one another, we know of our existence. We can feel it, even if it's terrible.
Well, at least, you know, we know that we're not alone, too. No matter how, you know, what the circumstances are, we know that here on this earth that even if we're feuding and fighting, we're not the only human being out there. There's others there.
Yeah, it's life. It's trials. It's tribulations. It's overcoming evil and winning out the day. It's an experience in itself just to live, you know? And what would we have done before if we never existed, or if we never was humans and we never could come down here and experience all this? What kind of souls or people would we be? We would just be pretty much in the dark, like Adam and Eve. We wouldn't have known good or evil. We wouldn't have known the difference between right or wrong. We wouldn't know. We wouldn't have been able to experience.
Well, sometimes, you know, I think about this for my own personal self, you know. I think about all the time that I have wasted in my life. You know, I'm in my mid-40s right now. And had I have known God and had an intimate and personal relationship with Him for the first half of my life, how much different would my life have been? How much more full of joy and love and happiness would have my life been? You know, I mean, I had some, like everybody in life, you know, we have our ups and downs through life. And there was some, you know, not so good times and some really wonderful times. But if I had have been in the presence of God from the very beginning, living my life as I should have, according to God's purpose and plan for me, how much richer and fuller my life would be.
Well, if you think about it, if you're on the dark side and you're doing all kinds of stuff and bad things happen to you, you end up in a jailhouse or you end up hurt or hurting somebody else, those all come from bad choices, and just the basic Ten Commandments alone could have kept you away from all those bad things that happened to you. You know, that's what if you don't take anything else away from the Bible, at least go to look at those Ten Commandments and think about yourself in this world without those golden rules to live by. And think about yourself whenever you're loving somebody. You're not harming them. You're not bringing no pain or suffering to them. You're taking care of one another. You're watching over the sick and helping the elderly and taking care of your children and raising them up to bleed the same way. That's what this is all about to me, you know. No matter what you out there think that the ultimate creator is, to me, it's the essence of pure love. There's no way around it.
It just don't make sense to me, you know, now. I mean, I never really gave it much thought for the first half of my life, but, you know, not that I was, I don't know, I can't, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, because it's not all about me, it's God in me. But, praise God, I had good parents that instilled really good morals in me and values and things, and so, you know, I always kind of lived by the theory of treat others as you would want to be treated, and you know, I would want to be treated with love, and so I kind of always just extended love to others. But it's just such a waste of time for people out there, those people who just like to poke each other, you know, and cause unpleasantness, you know, drama in the work area and all these things. I mean, folks, life is too short for all that nonsense. And, you know, you're just stressing your body out, and things are stealing your joy and your peace, and your love that just aren't necessary, you know. And so I would just encourage all of you today, you know, that I hope something that I have said in today's message, you know, really resonates with you, and that I hope you really think about these things and think about love, you know, and try to think outside the box, you know, about what your idea of love is, and search harder, you know, search deeper about, you know, this agape love.
Yep. I'm sure that everyone out there, even a non-believer, can agree that no mother or father wants their child to come back out of fear. No mother or father wants anything bad for their children. They want their children to want to come home, and they want their children to want to love them. So I feel like that's what our Creator felt like for us. Send us out into the world to learn and to love one another and be good caretakers, and then come back home to our Father because we loved Him.
I agree. Okay, folks, well, it's almost noon here Central Time, and it's about time to wrap up this Saturday show. I'm happy that all of you could join myself and my husband Shaziz, and I believe this has been a great topic, and I know I've did a few other shows previously about the topic of love, but you know, you can just never have too much love in your life, and the subject of love is so massive, you know, that you could have multiple shows on it and still think of different things to talk about. And so we just give God all the praise and glory for everything, for our lives, for today's message. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before I close, Shaziz?
No, just peace and love.
Okay, so, well, until next Saturday, same time, same place. Until we meet again, folks, we hope you have a very blessed week, and know that here from the Beverly and Shaziz home to yours, we love you with everything we got from the bottom of our heart, folks. And so go out there and have a good week, and be a blessing to somebody, and love up on all the people you can possibly find. Amen.
Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies dust I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a someday for a crown.